buy it. And so I got grounded, and Roger told the truth. So he really got me in trouble. And so he spilled the beans, and I lied, and he got to go out and play, and I didn't. So that was a memory of Mom sticking by and teaching me integrity and to tell the truth. And I never forgot that. I can't say I never lied to her again, but I never forgot that.
Can I add something to that story? Because I remember Mom telling that story.
Oh, are you going to tell it from Mom's point of view?
Yeah. I'm going
to
hear the real truth.
Mom said that little Bird used to tell her stuff, and she used to say that to us because we'd say, "How did you know?" And she'd say, "A little bird told me." She never told us how she found out. A lot of times she'd follow up, you know, the boys, or Karen or me, or she'd call somebody to find out where we were, just to check up on us. Mm-hmm. So she said there was some place where it said, "Tell the truth, or the truth shall set you free." Mm-hmm. And she said that you saw that over an archway. I'm not sure where it was, but she told you that. I don't know if it was this incident, but I thought it was this one, because you didn't tell her the truth, but you came back later and felt really bad and said, you know, this is really what happened. So you told the truth later, and she said, you maybe asked her, you know, how'd you know? And she said, well, a little bird told me, so I already knew what you did.
But actually,
she followed you. Or was this something else?
This was another time, because she... This one was, we were playing in the sewer. We had crawled down the sewer pipe, and we were playing in the sewer down the street. And she told me, she didn't confront me. I don't think I lied that time, because she knew where I was. But she told me that a little birdie told her. And I don't know whether, I can't remember whether she said a neighbor, when she gave me the truth later on, it was a neighbor, she followed us or something.
But. Well, yeah, the story I remember was she actually followed you. She was sleuth mom. But do you remember the truth shall set you free?
Oh, yeah.
You remember that? Well,
up on the hall.
Well, yeah, that's written, but who knows if we had been there yet.
Up on the hall.
Yeah,
I don't think we've been there yet. So, it might have been someplace else. I don't know.
Yeah, but I do remember sharing. I didn't know it was a Bible verse at the time.
Yeah.
And just the other thing that really helped me, and I didn't realize it, in fact, until I started, after I became a Christian, I was reading the Bible, where, you know, Mom's favorite quote from the Bible, although not positive she knew it, I assume she did, was the golden rule.
Yes.
Just, you have, I mean, if I heard that once, I heard it a million
times. A million times.
Yeah.
All of us have.
Yep.
Take the Ten Commandments.
Everybody should follow the Ten Commandments. This would be a better world.
Yep.
Say that.
So I wasn't the only one who heard it.
Yeah, we all heard that.
But it was really neat when I was reading through the Bible the first time that I saw it. I go, oh, that's where it came from.
Mom used to say this too: people need to help themselves.
God helps those who help themselves.
And we thought for sure that had to be out of the Bible, because she quoted it so many times.
Turned out that wasn't.
No, it's not in the Bible, but she quoted it like.
We're talking about memories of your grandma.
Remember the golden rule and the Ten Commandments and God helps those who help themselves. Remember that? You've heard
she'd
all
always
that.
Say that.
Well, everybody else is trying to that went right over.
Maybe it slipped on the younger ones.
She must have got tired of saying it by
nobody's listening.
She would only tell me about boys and how they always wanted one thing, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, thanks, Grandma.
She always ragged me about my ball cap. I wouldn't see her for 2 years and I'd come in the house. Take that ball cap off. Or a hat.
Yeah, the biggest thing.
Ryan can relate to that one.
Yeah, the biggest thing with me was chewing gum. Couldn't stand my chewing gum, so I got to the point where I just spit it out before I saw her.
It wasn't worth hearing about it.
Well, yeah, and then, Well, yeah, I did. I would, you know, get a trash can, I'd throw it away, but there were a couple times I forgot. She goes, oh, there you're chewing that gum again.
She said you didn't chew it normal, though. The last time I saw her, she was like,
thanks,
your mom
Lauren.
Does not chew gum normal. I was like, I know she chomps it.
That's usually because I was nervous talking to Mom. No. I'm kidding. I love Mom. And I remember her being very practical and loving us and sacrificing for us and saving the pennies and the dollars and shopping, getting the best deals at all the different stores. And,
well, recently Mom said she wanted to go because she wanted to leave us the money. Mm-hmm. She didn't want the nurse to talk to
her. Well, she said with all that she's paying, they should treat her better. With what I'm paying, I should have what I want. And yeah, she would tease the nurses too, from what I understand. She'd say, they come in, do you want a bath? Nope. Do you want to brush your teeth? Nope. And as soon as they'd leave, she'd look over at Ann, who was her roommate, and kind of laugh. Thought she got one over on them. And she, her personality was really coming out since she was there.
She liked those baths.
She loved the whirlpool bath.
Yeah. She did. She did. She just, you know, if she didn't want to do it then, they'd have to come back later. So she wanted to feel like she was in control.
See, I have to confess, because Mom really, I think, changed a lot this last year. And Roger, who has a little bit of that, little bit of goading self from my, came in there, and Roger came in, I think it was the May visit, and every time we go into the nursing home, he kept his hat on and he didn't shave, which was two things Mom would get on his case. And he came over and he goes, Mom has really changed because she hasn't said anything about my hat or beard. It's like he was just doing it to see how long it would be before she'd say something. Yeah. Well, she finally said something the last day. I think she said, oh, you have your hat on. But she did, that's all she said. It was really
she, hat
she,
off.
Pardon?
She probably noticed the hat off.
Oh, yeah.
Well, another kind of funny story is Bren would, he gain weight, lose weight, gain weight. And one time we came over and Bren said, are you pregnant?
She said that to Bren.
Yeah. Are you pregnant, Bren? She got a big kick out of that. It hurt his feelings.
She always let Dave know when he was a few pounds over.
Yeah, I'm really bummed because I lost all this weight. I was going to impress her.
Yeah, she never got to see it.
Did she make comments to you?
Oh, yeah. Oh. She never called me pregnant. Yeah. She goes, man, you sure put on some weight.
Mom never held back with her tongue when it came.
No, she wanted to talk about my clothes when I used to wear those low-rise pants, you know. And one time, I guess she, like, you know, fell all over the bathroom.
Like, wait,
she would be like, look at those pants. And then she thought it was funny because she'd be like, whoa, you flashed me over here. Like, she was funny.
Yeah, she did talk about style and fashion and say, you know, why do these kids wear it? Their pants look like they're falling off.
Can I
give you some dating advice?
Yeah. Well, she just, like, she watched Mike. She couldn't hear any of us, but Mike, she could hear what he was saying before we were engaged. And she, just in the middle of all this other conversation, she's like, I like him. You should marry him. Mike was sitting there, I'm standing there, we're looking at her like, okay.
And you know what?
One.
To pass Mom's approval, that's a really big thing that you
that's
got
what
from.
Said. And it meant a lot that she was so forthright. And
Mom
she
had,
it.
And actually, Mom had very good intuition when it came to character. And so,
she would not have said that out loud.
No,
if she hadn't have watched and paid attention, probably for
very closely,
probably for a while. Yeah, just eyeballing things.
It wasn't just an interaction with everybody, but it was his interaction with you.
She was very discriminating when it came to things. Sometimes really blunt, but you know, very discriminating. So.
And the thing about Grandma too, like I appreciated all the talks that I got to have with her as I got older because she really did learn a lot from life. with her brother's passing and her mom being sick and her being the only girl, and then living in a roommate situation with lots of other girls, I mean, that's tough. Even now with our situation, living with a lot of other people, I've never had to do that before, and I realize how much you really, I mean, it takes a lot to be able to do that and live in that kind of environment. And you learn a lot from other people and a lot about life and things, and she would sit and listen to me and had a lot of things to tell me that I think that I'll take with me, that, you know, I think you can only learn from wise old age, so. Mm-hmm.
Grandma's two things that she always needed
communication. She said you have to communicate.
She's like, I've always had those with Grandpa. She said, and if you don't have those in your relationship, she said, you guys have to work together to make it work.
Work together, that's what she said a lot. You need to work together, work together. Dad and I worked together, she said. Dad and I, it's one thing we did. Work together.
A lot of us got tired of hearing the same thing over and over. Now we can appreciate it more.
That's how it gets in your long-term memories.
She surprised me so much when she came to the house and stuff, you know, and she saw everything. She was like, you guys did a good job. Like, I couldn't even have done this good of a job. That's not what I thought she was going to say at all. Like, that shows, like, how much she's changed. Like, she was completely fine with it, was proud of them, you know what I mean, and was telling them that. She was so sweet.
I've had to warn her quite a few times of it. Mom, this has kind of been done. Ellen would have done this anyway. There's no dining room stuff in there anymore.
So I told her kind of up front.
She had to come back and she was going to come back.
I thought it would be really hard.
I thought it was going to be horrible.
I had to prep her because I knew if I didn't, she would. Because remember Sharon, she thought the off-white couch was still going to be there.
She thought the one that was there was hers. And I wasn't going to say anything. I thought if she wants to think it's hers, that's fine. You know, I wasn't going to correct her. So.
We didn't say anything.
Well, somebody must have said something or she figured it out because she said something later. But she did.
She saw the other one in the garage.
Well, she asked about it later, and she asked about the white lamp. Remember the white lamp? She loved that lamp. And she I remember heard that day, and she said, "This is Nito." She used the word. I never heard her say Nito. She went around and said, "This is Nito, Nito." And she looked at all the way Emily arranged her. She says, "This is so Nito." And she was like, "I know you guys have worked hard at this, and this is just so Nito."
But you know where I think Nito probably came from? And this is funny because we're talking about Grandma's influence on us, but I think Mark and Matt, I guarantee you their influence on Grandma too.
I'm going to let him look at it.
That was her.
You look at those.
Kind of verbal.
A David.
Just recognition of the fact that she hung out with them.
Hey, Matthew, you remember anything about Grandma? What do you remember about Grandma?
For Easter one year.
I never lived there. So
out of the blue.
Never did it before.
Random.
Never did it again.
Gave him this big stuffed bunny.
Never did it.
So Mark, that one, what you did?
Well, just a
second. I think this was before he was even
born. Oh, okay.
But we've always had it. We've had it.
But she never did that.
Did what?
She never did that before with our kids. Sharon, do you remember that?
What's that?
Giving just something out of the blue, like a gift or anything.
She did.
Occasionally,
I don't know, maybe it was Christmas, but one year she bought all the new girls those cute little dresses with the embroidery. Remember that? She got them all at the end.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. The Polly, Polly Flinders or whatever. Yeah. I remember. We talked about a lot of that stuff.
She did.
We sent packages like that, and I do remember the American dolls, and she was all excited about that for the girls. And
no, I mean out of the blue.
Just without
it. Holiday.
Usually it was a holiday.
Yeah.
Holiday. I remember her bringing stuff back from trips.
Yeah.
The little Dutch shoes.
Yeah, we got her cameos.
All those little beaded necklaces, little beaded doll necklaces. I think she brought those.
Yes, indeed it did.
Yeah.
That was
the
same thing.
Yep.
Wow. She's thinking about that. She did. She did. She did. She did. She
did.
She did. The pewter Norwegian ships.
She probably got an adult one, huh?
How old are you, Ron? Brian, how old were you? Do you remember?
Oh, I was young. Gosh, that had been, how old was I?
Emily and I were probably what? Well, Mom did
do some stuff. I guess I kind of forgot about all that.
Yeah. I was young,
though. Oh, cool.
It was cool. It had all the real little leather little clothing. You know, it was, you could tell somebody put some time into it.
No, we were
like, was that a trip she made with senior citizens?
I don't remember. It was when she went to Norway.
She went to Alaska with a senior citizen.
So, yeah.
Whatever that was.
She went to Norway.
Well, I remember a racing story that I wanted to share. Brent and I went over there. Mom was kind of negative when it came to religion and things like that, but near the last few years, I felt like her heart was softening, and she had a cheek pain that was really excruciating for her, and she had it for a long time, and it just killed us to watch her in pain. She'd just wince, and just, you know, practically tears would come to her eyes, and she'd hold her cheek and just say, "This is awful," and we felt hopeless and didn't know what to do, but we were over there one night, and Brent and I prayed for her, and she was real receptive and real sweet spirit, and she said, I remember her saying, "Thank you." I'm going to let Brent fill in more, too, parts that I'm leaving out. But she appreciated it, and soon after that, I'm not even sure if it was a day, that pain went away and tried to come back a little bit, but it never came back. So I believe God healed her. And she had had to.
It was totally gone after that. And that was right at the same time you guys had prayed.
Well, yeah, that was after. No, I mean, she fell after. Yeah,
no, I'm saying it was right around that same time.
Same time.
It seemed like it all just worked together.
Yeah, did you have anything to add to that?
Well, I'll say this for the sake of everybody's consciousness of it, but because it was meaningful to us. When Sharon asked me to pray, she was crying, and I said, well, I want to ask your mom if she wants us to pray. Because, as you said, she was sometimes offended by or negative about religious things, and I, you know, I didn't want to upset her. So I knelt down next to her in the chair. She was actually standing next to her in that chair on her left side. She always sat
on one
in the
side,
chair.
I think I was on the other.
And I think you were standing next to me. Anyway, I looked at her and I said, "Marsh, do you want us to pray for you?" And she said, "Yes." Mm-hmm. So I was very surprised, and I got on my knees. We got on our knees together next to her, and we prayed. And I, in addition to praying for her healing, laid hands on her. I prayed a prayer of repentance for her, with her, and basically claimed her with her there. And we got done praying. She said, "Amen." So.
And didn't you say there were tears?
Oh yes, tears streamed down her face. We were all crying.
Yeah, she a lot of times would say, "I want to die. I want to die." And we said, "Well, Mom, you know," she said, "why am I not dead yet?" She'd say that to Karen and I a lot. "Well, why am I not dead yet? I should be dead by now."
Because she's the most stubborn woman I've ever
And we,
that's right. Where we all get it.
And we said, "Well, maybe God's not done with you, or, you know, he's working with you still, and it's not your time yet. God knows your time, and, you know, when the Lord's ready, you know, he'll take you, Mom." And I remember talking to one of the residents, or his aunt, or somebody. I heard her say, "When the good Lord's ready to take me, I guess I'll go." And I thought, wow, Mom said, "Good Lord," you know, "good Lord's ready." So.
And David written her a letter too. I don't know if a lot of you knew that.
Yeah.
Really sharing his part, and I know you
didn't share. Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I gave her the letter, but I'm not sure. Because I just felt like I needed to tie up any loose ends, because I didn't know how long she was going to be around. I just had a friend of mine who lost his father, and he just said, "Take this time while she's alive to tie up any loose ends." And I just felt compelled to write a letter kind of sharing about faith and Christ and just my love for her and that sort of thing. And anyway, I'm not sure I had a big impact. girl said they read it. She liked the letter, and then I asked her about it. She said, "What letter?"
Well, that was merely memorable.
Mom made a comment to me, and she said she really appreciated the letter. It meant a lot to her.
Well, since we have that, she really liked that calendar you guys sent, too. It was sitting there, and she says, "Have you seen that that calendar? Have you seen that calendar?
Oh, yeah,
I just love that calendar. Uh-huh. They did such a nice job, so she made sure I saw that calendar."
Well, we stopped by. It was New Year's Eve. It was New Year's Eve this year, and
she loved it.
We get some eggnog and cake and have a little party.
Yeah.
And well, because you're a user at her house anyway, so with her, so it just seemed like the right thing to do. She was thrilled with that calendar. First, as soon as we walked in, she says, "You need to see that," you know. Mm-hmm.
Ellen, why don't you share with her about New Year's Day?
Mm-hmm.
But I'll let you finish.
That's fine. Done.
We all know Grandma liked her Manhattans. And cigarettes. And I would take her out to have a cigarette every once in a while. You know, from the nursing home and, as you know, our time getting together or whatever, but she would ask me to mix her Manhattans when she would come home, or if I would go over there or whatever.
She wanted family to go.
So New Year's Day, it was snowing, and I had left the kids with Kevin and his parents, and went to meet Mom, and there was a miscommunication, and it ended up to be later than what we thought, and we almost didn't go. I mixed up some Manhattans and went over there and sat and talked, and we looked at the calendar. But that was the last time that I saw her. So I'm really, really, really glad that I went. And, you know, that was just Grandma sitting and having a drink. And when I would go over there, I'd spend a lot of time pulling weeds and stuff when she couldn't get to it, and or when she wasn't able to physically do it anymore. And only for a couple summers, I didn't do it nearly as much as I should have. But I'd spend all day out there. I'd trim the shrubs a couple times, and she'd always have me come in, and we'd sit and have a drink and talk about, even, you know, and I'd ask her a lot of questions about, you know, family growing up, you know, when she was in Minnesota and how they had one of the first cars, and they'd put it up on the blocks in the wintertime, and they'd all sit around one of the first radios that, you know, in the neighborhood, and things like that. So I'm glad that I got to do that with her, because it was something that we had done when she was still home.
But the Manhattans was kind of fun. Mom was in a really good mood that night.
Yep, she was.
Well, I wonder why.
No,
me too.
It was a joke.
Why?
All
the joke.
No, it was even.
She only had one.
Yeah. And she was so
big Christmas too.
She would nap, like towards the end. She, you know, she was so tired, and so she'd nap, and it didn't matter, like, if you woke her up or not. She was so happy to see you. She'd just sit right up, and she'd smile, you know, be happy to see you, you know, even if you just woke her up from dead sleep. And we woke her up because we had gotten there a little bit late, and she just sat up and smoothed back her hair and sat up and was ready to go.
Yeah, she always got excited about getting her hair done.
One of my favorite memories of Grandma is playing cards. And it's like my favorite thing. Is we would play euchre, and you know, you go around and you say pass or pick it up. Well, it wouldn't be your turn anymore. It'd just be like pass. So what do you think?
Yeah, we used to kind of tease her because she couldn't hear us.
What are you saying? What?
Did we cheat?
We
teased her.
We did
her
talk about stuff that she probably wouldn't approve of that she couldn't hear. You know, like
it was his too. It was their fault.
I remember being secretly happy inside when I would see Grandma because she was so on it. Even when she was. She would get you every time.
Shanghai. She always beat me at Shanghai.
Yeah, always. And if you won, even if you didn't win, but you beat Grandma's score, it was still like,
yes.
Like,
Grandma usually won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all. When she would do badly, she'd be like, going for high score, which is not good.
Yeah, we all use that one. Well, do you guys want to share anything about doing the Christmas cards? What happened that day? Okay, Valerie.
That was your last number, wasn't it?
Yeah.
His last
number.
Oh, you sure?
What was that day like?
It was fun. Valerie and I joked around with her, and she was tired. But she was really...
Didn't you have the wrong list or something?
Yeah, no, she was really happy to see us, and we had a bunch of her Christmas cards, and we were, you know, just writing back the ones who had written her. And, you know, she'd lay down, and then, you know, she'd kind of wake up again and start talking to Valerie and I. And, she hands us this big box of all the people that she sent Christmas cards to, and half of the ones she did that we did, she didn't send them. We were like, "Oh, Grandma, thanks." Well, now we have to go after we spent 2 hours.
By the way, I usually write things to people. Really.
So half the ones you wrote, she didn't usually send.
But she was just thrilled having them there.
Oh.
Yeah.
And she'd never write a note, but she'd underline everything, you know? Like it was her note.
Her way of personal.
Mom and
Dad always did that. Because I remember looking at some old cards of Dad, and he'd underline special ones.
That supposedly means what? Dignity or self-reliance? Is that what that is?
Mm-hmm. Underlining your signature.
Huh?
When you underline your signature.
It's just underlining different words and verses.
I really respected that about Grandma, though. Like, she was so good about all of that. Always sending a Christmas card, like, always sending a card on my birthday. And she has a lot of grandkids. Mm-hmm. She was always 20. Did that. Always. Like, she made sure that she got us those cards.
It was a weekend. Your ages were always right.
Yeah, she kept herself up with that. Always writing everything down and... That's even impressive.
Even up until the beginning of December, she had me go get cards for you and for you guys for, you know, she was still...
Well, I messed up. She really wanted them for...
Yeah, I heard it was birthdays.
I got two Christmas cards.
You got those. She wasn't really excited. I was wondering why she wasn't really excited about writing her Christmas cards. Because we got over there, we're like, Grandma, we're going to help you write your Christmas cards. She's like, oh, maybe. We're like, no, you're going to write your Christmas cards. Grandma, she's like, okay, we'll write Christmas cards. She, that's when she kept falling asleep, waking up, falling asleep, waking up.
Really
like, no, Grandma, who's this? She'd wake up, okay, who? What? And then she'd tell us who they were. Oh, yeah, that's good. You write them, yeah. And then she'd be like, I know, what'd you say? And I'd show her what reader what you'd say, and then we'd go on to the next one. Oh,
yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah, her memory was pretty good.
A miracle we got some of the scars out.
Yeah, some of last week.
She was. She dreamed. She actually remembered who they all were.
That, I think my favorite memory of her. I don't have a ton. I love when we were dressing up in her old dresses. I like some of my favorite pictures because when we walked out, she would just like ooh and ah over every single dress. I think remembering being that age, but where we like, I don't remember being that age actually.
13 years old.
In our young, we were probably 14 and we were wearing all the dresses she wore in her like.
Yeah, she was so thrilled that she was as thin as you guys too.
Oh yeah.
She said, "Can you believe? Yeah, can you believe I got that?" She didn't say that.
I have all those on show with the fresh video guys.
The thing
when we were younger than that. Because I don't think I could have fit into even up because she was teeny. Like I think we were in like seventh grade.
Probably.
Well, there were a lot of dress-up memories, and I even remember they used to con Ryan. All the little girls were crying, come on. You can be the king or the dad.
I was one of the noble knights. I might have been wearing a dress.
Well, no, I never saw you in a dress.
That's because you were the only boy.
Yeah. You were the masculine. Yeah. You were the masculine. You were never, I don't remember you in a dress. You were the masculine boy.
There
is
some more girls.
Really?
Yeah. I always felt a little sorry for you.
That was awesome, though. I'm glad there's some girls. I didn't even know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love the show.
washing and finger staining.
She loved the finger staining.
I know. I just remember going over there.
Grandma
always had Lawrence
Welk. Well, we used to watch Ed Sullivan.
And Lawrence Welk.
Yeah.
Lawrence Welk. They love Lawrence Welk.
That's what I just said, Mom.
Oh, you said that.
Give us the program. A little behind.
My hearing's not as good either.
Uh-oh. Were you done, Jess?
You had something else you were going to say. You weren't finished.
Dressing up.
It seemed like you were in the mid of the sentence and we all got it.
Yeah. Oh, that was all right.
You were talking about dressing up.
I loved dressing up. I think the thing was I didn't know her very well, and I thought she'd be really mad when we started getting into the dresses, and she was so delighted.
Yeah, so that made it a lot of fun.
Cool. Yeah. But also, I mean, I have to say, because every single time, like, the memory from being little is that she always, every single time we left, even the very last time I saw her, I guess when we were here in the summer, she's like, I always have considered you one of my granddaughters. Yeah. And that just meant a lot for me, especially when I was younger and I didn't quite know who I belonged to, and I was just always really confused.
Yeah, you were always in her number of
she
grandchildren.
She always counted me, and that has always meant a lot to me.
Yep.
So, last time, like, she, like, pressed my hand last time I saw her, and she's like, always thought I was my daughter, like, my granddaughter, and I really like that young man.
Valerie, I bet you have a good memory.
I think there's just a couple. Like, I know I really enjoyed the memory of with Kara, actually, when Kara was here. I took some pictures of it. They weren't the best, but... and I think it made me see a side of Grandma that I never realized, I guess, never loved the kids. And it may remind me of, you know, I always had those memories of Christmas and all her loving to hug us. She loved our hugs. And little Kara, she used to ask Kara, you know, what kind of toys you got there? Kara was all excited. Oh, she was in my stuff, she showed my toys. She gets up on Grandma's lap, you know, and she's like climbed right up there and sat on Grandma's lap. She was so happy with all of her and so proud of her family. And I know that Grandma would say, she always had things to say, weren't always the nicest things about some of us or to us, but past that, she loved all of us so much. And the more I talked to her, the more that would come out, that how much she loved every one of us. Mm-hmm. And all of us would come up, and when I go visit her, she'd keep me posted on how everybody else is doing. She'd tell me about every single one of the grandkids. And I mean, her memory was just unbelievable. And I learned a lot from that. I mean, how much better I could be about appreciating all my family and keeping up with them. And
yeah, she'd usually find out what you guys were doing through her. I mean, say, did you hear from the Roger and David this week? Or, you know, and she'd go, yep. And then we'd kind of get filled in, you know, how many times she called or whatever. That she said, yeah, I heard from David Saturday. I heard from Roger Sunday, or, you know. She was always thrilled to hear from you guys.
And sometimes I think one of my favorite memories, it's kind of a sad memory, but I don't know if I can get it out, how she loved just me when I'd be there, or anyone. She'd say, you know, she's fine by herself, but when you're there, she was so happy to have you there. And she'd always say, I hope I get to see you again soon, or, you know, you've got to go, you know. And I'll see you later. She'd have that look like, I hope it's soon, you know. And I always felt like she appreciated me. Mm-hmm. And to see me, I don't think it could have been there enough.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I'm really, really appreciative too, because I know, just talking about this with a number of you, so I just felt this, I did feel like this last year Mom kind of came at peace with things, and just her spirit just seemed to change, and it just meant a lot to me. I know in my trip to August, it just seemed like she was a different person, and I just remember, I was walking back from making a phone call, and one of the one of the people who worked at Springbead came out and goes, I just love coming to this room. Your mom's just a sweetheart. And I'm going, oh my gosh, who is she talking about? But he must have been confused. In fact, I looked at the room of the workshop on the horizon. It took me by surprise. But it was so neat during that day because I'd never seen my mom do that in the first visit or even thought of her doing it. But somebody'd walk down the hall and she'd go, oh, there's so-and-so. She's just a sweetheart.
Yeah, she'd wave.
And she'd wave to him and say something nice about him and go, wow, this is so neat. I feel like this last year, mom started coming at peace with herself. And I mean, did you all feel that?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just
absolutely.
I can say that when I started coming to visit her, I don't know, it just something woke up in me. I think it was maybe talking to a friend of mine that lost his mother or his father, and he actually visits him every day. And I guess talking to him after he lost him helped me to see the importance. And he said, "Don't you miss time?" He goes, "Don't you have regrets?" And from that point on, I started really praying for her and keeping her in my prayers and saying, "Just help her be at peace." And I mean, and from then on, like, I really truly believe that God answered my prayer and that He heard me and heard all of us, because I know I wasn't the only one. And I remember the day, really memorable experiences when this was around that time I was really praying hard, and I remember my mom calling me, and I think I cried, I was so excited, but my mom called me, and she's like, "Valerie, I had the best time with my mom I think I've ever had. I was laughing, we were joking around, I mean, it was unbelievable." And I said, wow, I felt so much more at peace at that point.
Valerie, you got to tell the story you told me about coming in and you had to determine to make her laugh.
I don't even remember what it was that I said, but I guess this was probably about maybe 2 years ago. And maybe around, I think it was before that, at that time I started visiting her a lot more, but I was like, you know what, I don't remember seeing Grandma laugh. I don't remember the last time I've seen Grandma laugh. And so I went over to Grandma's, and I was like, whatever I'm doing, I'm going to figure out some way to make her laugh. Like, you know. Well, man, it was a heck of a lot harder than I thought. I remember, like, I was trying everything. I actually was sitting there thinking about it, you know. Like, normally, I can be kind of funny, you know. I can think of stuff pretty quick. But it was tough. I remember being really tough. But I did get her to laugh. And from that point on, I learned a lot about her. It taught me something. I don't even remember what it was now. I wish I could tell you what it was. But it helped me to see a good part of her, like how to bring out some happiness, you know? Like, it taught me something of the ways that would help her laugh and bring her, you know, joy out. And I got a lot better at it after that. I remember I got her to laugh a lot easier after that, but I remember it was so hard. And I was like, man, this is going to be a lot harder. I think I said that to myself, too. But she really had, and once, you know, I got her to laugh, we had some really good times together. I mean, I remember laughing with her a lot. And
you'd eat her food, too. I remember how Mom would always get the Meals on Wheels, and she'd hate to waste it, so she'd say, you know, why don't you eat the rest of this?
Yeah, she'd do that all
the time. In the hospital, even, she'd get the
food. Yeah, she hates to waste.
Eat the rest of this, and nobody wanted to eat it. Except for Valerie come in and
start the rest of it up.
She was so excited. She'd
tell
people,
too.
She knew. Oh, my granddaughter like that.
Matter of fact, it got to the point where she was giving me doggy bags and saying, Valerie, I'll eat it, or my girls will eat it. Take it home. Here's a banana.
She's like, hey, I got a sandwich for you. Do you want to come over? And I was like, oh, that was like when she first started being really nice. And I remember as a kid, I used to be really scared of her. Like, I remember one time she yelled at you because you got a piercing. And she was like, so mad. And like, I was scared of her. Like, she would go crazy. Like, one time Christine and I knocked over the shower curtain. And I was like, Grandma, I'm so sorry. You know, I was scared. And she was like, well, you should be. And I was like, okay, you know. But then, like, she saw my belly button piercing, like, and she was like, what's that, you know? Didn't even care. And, like, you know, automatically came back to me, like, she freaked out. You know what I mean? Years before that. And she was like, oh, so why'd you do that? Like, really want to? I was like, well, I didn't want to put any in my face. So, you know, I, like, you can hide it. And she was like, oh, that's nice. Like, I'll be like, what? That's a crazy idea. I'm scared of her.
Well, to back up your thing about how she changed, having a few Manhattans with Grandma, inevitably, the topic would go to my father. And money, and church, and Shannon, and we'd come full circle, you know.
Yeah.
But I would say the last four times that I saw her, not once
she didn't bring up anything
about any of those topics that...
That she used to bring up a lot.
Yeah. bring up all the time.
Yeah. I would say the last four times we managed to have a whole conversation without ever touching on the fact of Dad or anything like that.
That's so awesome to hear everybody confirming that.
Yeah.
Because I remember last May when we were here, the whole weekend, and she came up, and I actually think it was, she started to say something like, Tim, and she just stopped. Mid-sentence and did not say another word. And that, remember that, Roger, in the room when she had been hadn't brought up a negative thing and then she started to and just stopped herself.
You don't know how many times Mom would start saying something. I said, Mom, I don't want to hear it. And since I said it so many times, I think, Mom.
The last time I talked to her, too, about the kids and Bren, and she was really appreciative. She was telling me all the things that Bren had done around the house. And she really, I thought that was so neat to hear her show that appreciation. So she gave me a little bit of sage mother advice that I pass on to all of you other mothers. When your kids are arguing about who gets the biggest piece... She was very clever. I'm sure other women have figured this out, but your mom, I give her credit for this bit of wisdom. She would have one child cut it in half, and the other child pick which half they wanted. And you can't believe how perfectly that first kid would cut that.
That's good advice.
Exactly. And I just want to say one thing. You know, Valerie's talking about how important it is to spend time with people you love. I've been, not going to make excuses, but the last several years of our lives have been extremely stressful, and I haven't had time for my own kids. It's been so many times I felt like God saying, call your mother-in-law, and I would just get too busy, and I just didn't do it enough. I didn't send enough cards. And I was, you know, of course, beating myself up and Karen and Sharon. I was like, you did enough. No. I didn't do enough. I want to tell you, it's not okay. It's not okay. But I thank you for forgiving me. Valerie was telling me, she just appreciated what you did do.
She did. Lisa, she mentioned you, actually, right around those times where I was visiting her a lot. She told me that you'd send cards and you'd do things, and that she truly appreciates you.
Well, that's me.
And she mentioned, and she'd say, you know, they do what they can. They're real busy, and you know, she's got all these kids and everything. And you know, and I think she knew things that even we didn't realize she knew. I think she knew that you guys had things you're struggling with, and I mean, she was really good about that, and she knew. Ultimately, you know, she'd have her negative things that she'd say about our families and things, but deep down, she was I started to talk to her, she truly loved every one of us.
She
truly cared. And that negative that came out was truly her positive coming out.
Yeah.
It's just that I think later we got to see that part of the positive. But truly, it was her way of saying she cared about us and that she worried about us, you know, like any mother does. They worry.
Well, it's a parental type of thing. It was a corrective.
Right.
You know, she wanted to see us do better in those areas that she felt we were lacking. So.
Well, I just appreciate that. Appreciate knowing that she wasn't bitter. I could have done more. I wish I had. I do have regrets about your grandma. I do have some regrets, but I have good memories, and it's just wonderful to see how she was the last year of her life.
It seems to me, and you guys grew up with her, I just know her as Grandma, but, you know, she was always very, she had a certain set of standards for herself. I mean, and she would push and push and push to make sure that everything that needed to be done was done. Even down to, like, making sure that bikinis were cut down at a certain time of the year, making sure that, you know, that the garbage was in the place that it was supposed to be and the lids were attached right so they wouldn't get knocked over by the wind. And, you know, I mean, she had very precise and very, like, you know, standards that she made sure were done. And it didn't matter if she was too tired. It didn't matter, if, you know, if she just made sure that it was done. And I think when I look at my dad and she, you know, I see where she was critical because it was so against how she lived her life. She couldn't understand, you know, that sort of mentality, you know. And so in her, with her being different and with her living to those standards that she set for herself, I think it allowed for that criticalness to come in. And I think in the end, I think she realized that it wasn't that, it just wasn't about that.
She accepted.
And she realized that it
was.
Yeah.
I think Grandma finally was happy because I think that she ultimately knew that that was, like, finally that she was going to be able to pass on. Because ultimately that's what Grandma's wanted for a long time.
She wanted to be with Dad and be done with the suffering.
And she was able to let go because she realized that she didn't have that much more time.
It was, we were kind of laughing when we went to the attorney's office. And we were here and trying to figure out how many certificates of death that we would need. And she had put down 15. And we should have just, knowing Mom, we should have just taken 15 and gone with it. So now we're counting up. We only need, started at 5. Well, we'll get 10. And we get to the lawyer's office. How many we need? 15. And we're going, why don't we just listen to Mom? Because Mom was like that. I mean, she had it figured out right down to the last
one. She had everything figured out.
That's partly why she kind of got a little that way, because and she kept up with the news. You know, you stop over, she'd tell you what was going on in the news. Like, she really wanted to be a part of all of our lives, and she tried in the best way she could. I mean, what she had to deal with. And
she cut out newspaper articles and give them to us. Ann Landers, this is good.
And, I mean,
did you read it?
She really wanted to be a part of all of our lives, and in a way, she was. I mean, I think that's partly.
She was, but I think she wanted more.
Yeah.
And she, that's where I feel like.
I think she finally made peace with it.
Yeah.
I think this last year she finally accepted this is where I'm at.
This is the way it's going
to
be.
And I'm happy with this because I'm finally going to get to move on. I better enjoy these little bits of time I get everybody. And she did.
Yep,
she did. And she enjoyed every time she got to see.
And I think it was hard for her because Grandma was so fair. Like, I think it was so hard for her
to a fault.
Do one thing. Yeah, I think it ended up isolating her a little bit because she wanted what she would want to do for one, she would want to do for everybody. And then she's like, but I can't do that for everybody, so then I can't do it for one. And she put herself in a box. And, you know, so I think it ended up. But I think when she was distant, I think it probably, you know, a lot of times it was because she felt like she couldn't do it for everybody, and so she had to, in order to be okay with it, she just didn't do it for anybody because she couldn't handle it for one and not for everybody.
I remember one time Valerie and I went to go see Grandma, it was probably a few years ago, and we were just sitting at the kitchen table, like, talking to her. And Valerie and I, we were, you know, we'd spent like an hour or two there, and we were ready to go. And we were like, you know, Grandma, we're going to go. And then she'd just keep talking. And she'd just, you know, bring up a completely different subject. And
Please sat back down?
No, we stayed probably for another hour because she didn't want us to leave. And I thought it was so sad. You know, like, leaving, I mentioned something to Valerie, and I was like, she just wanted to quit talking. She didn't want us to go because she didn't want to be by herself, and I remember that.
She actually definitely adjusted to the nursing home. As I told her, most everybody, she called her home. She got to where she actually called her home. She was there long enough to adjust and accept.
When you were talking about when she would wave at people or whatever, when on her birthday.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say something
like that.
Did you hear about it?
Go ahead. I didn't.
That's your sweetest story.
But not everybody's heard of Sam.
Yeah, she. There's another lady in the nursing home that is Marcella, and I think that was their bonding moment from the beginning. Is the name. But she doesn't. She can't communicate through speech.
She had a stroke.
She kind of grunts and makes noises, but not.
Repeat herself.
Yeah.
Fine.
Well, I don't think she.
You say, "How are you?" Fine. She'd say that. Yeah.
So she could say something.
She understood.
More,
yeah. She'd say, "Fine."
And she'd understand you.
Yeah.
But we had brought Grandma birthday cake and punch and stuff, and
she made
sure.
Oh yeah, I remember.
She made sure that Marcella had cake, had
and
ice cream.
Steak.
And
she wanted her to stay.
She made sure there was a napkin, and Grandma would wipe her face when there was, because she had her arms were, and she made sure her face was clean and just
tried to talk
totally
to her.
Took care of her. Yeah. Oh, made come. I swear. Somehow they understood each other. I mean, yeah. So she did. I mean, she made friends. She recognized people, and I think people really cared about her there.
Yep, they said.
Out to people.
A lot of the nurses said they loved her and said that she was a sweetie. She said they.
She played bingo.
Yeah.
She played bingo Saturday before she passed.
And won twice.
And when you win, you get a dollar.
Yeah, she told me. Christina left them when we were in the car.
Yeah, we tried to get her.
We were trying to get her to go to bingo. She's like, "Oh, I'm so tired. I don't want to." We tried and tried. She goes. I go, "So, Grandma, you win probably." She's like, "Yeah, I win a lot, but you only get a dollar." She's like, "I don't play with a dollar." I know. It was funny. I'm like, "Oh, a dollar."
I always remember Grandma's pink hat in the toilet seat.
Oh, yeah.
Who else would have a pink hat?
Oh, she didn't just have the pink hat leather toilet seat. She had the pink shower curtains and the pink sinks and the pink.
Yeah, but I don't care about all that.
Tubs and the pink hat leather toilet
seat. Still there.
And it's
still
there. And
Hat.
Toilet seat is still there.
Yeah.
We finally replaced the one in her bedroom because it had a long crack in it.
Yeah. She finally went out and got her one and put it on for her.
She never used it after. She never once used it. So I wish I'd gotten it sooner.
I remember
so that's a regret.
Changing that shower that she wanted and Karen.
Yep.
Having to find her to the shower.
Yeah, we did all that and probably never used the shower either.
No, we did. We got her in there
one time.
You and I did.
One time.
Grandma was the type of person, like, everybody keeps saying regrets. I know I have my own. Grandma would be the last person who would want us to have regrets.
Yeah, that's true.
Just think about that.
The
only reason
I bring that up is maybe to admonish myself and everybody else. Just don't. Just make the most of the time that you have with the people you love.
Yeah. I can't think of how much. I mean, that I had the opportunity to. I know my mom feels the same way, that she was given that opportunity, and I'm just so glad that I did and that I was able to. You know. I know how much she appreciated it, you know, and I was just able to be there.
Yeah.
Granted, you know, I kind of was upset that I didn't make it there, get to say goodbye to her.
She talked about you the last time I was there, though. Like, I said I was on the phone with you, and she's like, "Oh, tell Valerie that
I gave the phone to her," but she couldn't hear very well. She's like, "Just give me back the phone." Like,
she had a
whole time
on the phone.
Yeah, I'd always
say her on the phone.
Yeah, it was real hard.
But
it was
cell
really
phones,
hard.
If you don't get them on your ear just right, you
yeah.
can hear.
Yeah,
and I think she'd miss her ear.
Yeah,
and it was over at that point. If she'd move it just right, you were
okay. I was over there when somebody called, and she was holding it like way down here or something. She's like, "Hello, what are you saying?" I'm like, "Grandma." I think I remember that. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it must have been. Yeah, well, there was one time I heard Dave go, "It's Dave! It's your son!" You know, your son!
That's what it was. It's like yelling. He finally just gave up.
I don't think she had her the ear
on
at that
right.
point.
Yeah.
She finally kind of learned how to do it.
but
well, I think it is. It's key to getting it right.
Still had a hard time, but.
Well, one other thing I want to say, we almost lost mom a few times to like a blocked bowel and a couple other things, and she said the one thing that kept her here was her kids. She said, I just fought because I know my kids needed me. And
she said, I don't want anybody else raising my kids.
And she said, yeah, she said, we kept her going. I'm sure dad, too, you know, just kept her going. And so I was afraid I wasn't going to make it, but... Just kept saying I had to be there for you children.
Maybe she said it too many times. That's why, you know.
Well, she did say.
I'm just saying, you know, because she said she was like, finally, she's like, all right, I'm ready to go. And it's like, well, wow. Well, I guess I'm still here, you know?
Well, she did say she always wanted a girl, and then she got twins. She said, wow.
Yeah, she said that 100 times.
She said that 100 times. Yeah, she said, double trouble. She'd tell everybody that. Yeah, I wished so hard for twins. I wished too hard and got double.
I prayed so hard I wouldn't have them. I think God decided he wanted to switch that around a little bit.
No, she was proud of all of you guys. One of the last conversations I had was talking about you all and your kids, and I said, you know, I know you love all your kids, you know, and she said, oh yeah, Dave's so smart, and she would tell me a little about Dave growing up, and then she'd tell me about Roger growing up. She'd be like, he was so athletic, he went in everything, he got that All-State award, you know, and oh yeah, and then she told me all some of the sports too, and things, and then she'd tell me about Mom and Karen, and you guys being twins, and you know, how you were so different, though, man, they're so different. Aunt Karen lets it all out, and Sharon keeps it in, and then she lets it out, and, and then she'd say, she said, you know, and Karen was into the run activities, and Sharon's top of class, and I mean, she was proud of every one of you guys, and that's the last things I remember her saying about you guys, so.
Yeah, I kind of browbeat myself a little bit with the hospice lady, saying I felt like I didn't do enough, and kind of, you know, stepped aside a little bit. And she said, don't browbeat yourself, because you did what you could, and Mom appreciated all of you guys and loved all of you.
And she knew.
Yep.
She appreciated all those little things. You know, like, coming through, like, she would be like, oh, no, today.
Unwrapping presents.
Oh gosh, yeah, Kleenexes.
Grandma unwrapping presents. Do you remember? I'd be more excited than she would, and she'd sit there and make sure she could save the paper for later. And I'd be like, come on, Grandma, like, bring it. You know? Like, she'd be like, no, bro. I'm like,
he's
so serious about her.
Well, like, Karen and I, we were there at Spring Meet. She'd have a Kleenex, and we weren't allowed to throw a Kleenex away until it was used. I mean, it might have been used a little bit, but it's not ready to go in the trash yet. I want to use it again. Paper towels, Kleenex.
Oh, yeah.
Don't throw that away.
And she put it under her cup. I mean, she had a purpose for every piece of paper.
And she said, don't throw that away.
Depression.
Yeah. And it taught me a lot too. I mean, it's so easy to be wasteful these days, and sometimes going to see her and seeing how much she appreciated it. Not just did she do it out of habit, but she appreciated it. I mean, all the small things, you know, from a penny to Kleenex to whatever it was, she appreciated it.
And yeah,
it makes you think about all you have and be thankful for all we have to appreciate, and not, and especially each other, you know.
Yeah, there was,
she realized more than anything that was our family. And
there was a plastic rose that was on our package that, you know, Christmas present we gave Mom, and it was kind of coming down a little bit. And she said, I need to get that fixed. You know, she had all her pictures up there, and, you know, she was happy that they were finally up there. And she says, but I got to get that rose fixed because it was coming down. And so I kind of put it together a little bit. I said, Mom, it's a plastic rose. You know.
She wanted it. She wanted
but
it.
But, you know, I kind of pulled it up and, you know, put it up on the, I think, on top of the frame of, I don't know if his dad's frame or the bulletin board. It's on top of the bulletin board. And I came back later, and sure enough, somebody had come in there and probably glued it. She had somebody fix it. This plastic rose, pink rose that she was going to keep.
We, actually, New Year's Day, we came
in. Did you guys fix that plastic rose? Okay. So she was happy with that, the way that...
Mom even wanted to decorate till the end. Because remember, she asked us to fix the lathes, put them on top of the board.
because they were hanging on the side. She had a vision of how she wanted certain things.
Oh, and then we used to move her bed.
And it wasn't anything fancy. She wanted the plastic. She had that plastic lay of flowers. She saw they were pretty. She loved everything. And that plastic rose and.
And remember her bed? She always wanted her bed a certain way, too. And, you know, it was the layout of her room, you know, needed to be a certain way.
She had four pillows.
You had to stuff them down just the right way.
All her stubborn ways helped me be more patient with myself in particular.
Oh, well.
You learn a lot.
I remember being in college, so, of course, grandma was so big on me going to college. And you're going to succeed. You have to finish.
You got to get an education.
And I would be struggling with a test or studying, and I could hear grandma in the back of my head going, "You can do this, you can do this, come on, Anna, it's so important." And just knowing that she would be like so helped me, like, take it 5 years to get through college, but. She's just so proud. I mean, I remember that day.
She was
proud of you.
Hi.
She always would say that.
There's a door there.
All of it.
Oh, she missed the door. Mm-hmm. There's a little opening there.
Oh, well, it's okay. But, you know, I was just thinking that another reason that I want to work harder in school is because even though she's not around to see it, I want to graduate and I'll be thinking that, you know, that she'd be proud of me.
It was always one of the first things she would ask.
Yeah, how's school going for you? Yeah.
She'd talk about all of them. And, yeah.
Christy with your letters, she brought that up a few times too. Christy was spelled two words wrong. So, you know, like a letter she wrote her, and her was like, "Don't worry, sweetie, you'll get, you're very smart."
No, it was your grandparents come to lunch day. I was probably in the fourth or fifth grade. And, you know, the previous years I never had my grandparents there because, you know, my nana lives in Arizona. And I remember, you know, like, how much I appreciated her being there for me and eating lunch with me. And we did, like, this booklet thing. I don't even remember what it was, but I spelled words wrong. And every time, you know, I saw her, you know, how, you know, she'd remind
how's
me.
How's the spelling?
How I spelled.
I remember one year her grandparents' day, she came in and she was so excited because she got to do my math test with me. I just love math.
She did love math.
And she was good at it. I was really proud of her. The first ace I probably ever had on math.
His math skills connect that for her. She told me about Dave and Roger going to school and stuff. How smart everybody, all her kids were.
Another thing I remember is whenever we would leave, I'd always hug Grandma goodbye. And, you know, like, "Bye, Grandma, I love you." And she'd be like, "Thank you." But the last couple years, you know, like, she would say before I would, you know, I really loved you guys. So.
Yeah, she did. I noticed that.
Like, she'd say it before I did.
She remember really
when she
was
like, say she was shrinking.
Yeah,
and how she was the shortest out of everyone.
And she would be like,
she'd stand up and like put her shoulders back.
But I think I'm shrinking. I remember that when we were probably like 10. And we were like about as tall as she was. And then everybody outgrew her.
I don't know, Suzanne, did you?
I think we were like even last time.
Yeah, with her heels and
shoes.
Yeah,
okay. Suzanne, do you have any memories? Good memories at Grandma?
Of course. I remember her coming to Troy Christian for Grandparents' Day.
It sounds like she hit all of them.
Yeah. All remember happy grandparents' day? That's what I'm thinking. Like, what was my grandparents'
day? Yeah, I don't
day?
Know. If I
yeah.
Or once because she would go spend like an hour with Emily, and then she'd come spend an hour with me, and she'd go spend an hour
she
with
made
mine.
Even.
She did. She made sure every one of us had our time during the day. She's like, "You don't want me? I'm coming. You're gonna get an hour." Whether you don't like it or not.
I gotta be fair.
Yeah,
exactly. Whether you want it or not.
It was like, she could divide it into 19 minutes. Yeah. 19 minutes.
Yeah.
Suzanne, do you remember that day?
I remember us three staying the night over there, and she making us blueberry pancakes in the morning.
Oh, they were the frozen ones, though.
Yes.
They?
Oh, yeah. They
were the box.
It didn't matter, but Grandma was so excited. She was
so she was excited.
Yep.
Yeah.
She loved it.
good. And then Christmas, of course, like, always good Christmas. Yeah. She was always really good at having pop and stuff at her house, and she didn't even drink it.
Yeah, no, she said it was for
like,
us.
She
yeah.
never drank pop, but she always had it there, and she would always offer it to me, like,
and she had cookies in the cookie jar.
No, she'd always tell me it was always ice cream in her
video. Yes,
the
archway.
Yeah.
But that mushroom cookie jar, I remember all my little years growing up running and going to the cookie jar. I was like,
Anna, that was a good one.
Anna said, screw the
cookie,
I'm taking the whole
cookie.
When we come over, we're expecting cookies.
The first
time Ryan came over after I had it, I was just telling him, he's like, what do you mean? There's no archway cookies in here.
My dad had
archway cookies in the cookie jar.
Partially
for grandma,
partially
for Ryan.
Be careful with that cookie jar. I'm the one that got my grandma's cookie jar. Beautiful apple with so be careful with it.
Way back on my calendar.
Yeah. Way back.
Reach it except Gene and I right now.
Oh, yeah. And you wait when the kids start climbing those counters.
Yeah. Or else they will be different counters at a different house by the time they're crawling.
Yeah, climbing up. And
I remember her beef stew. Like, it was just canned soup. It was like beef and
beef and barley.
And then she always had like bananas and peanut butter sandwiches.
Remember the little Totino's pizzas?
Yeah.
In the microwave with
yes.
the little.
I love those.
Oh, sure.
They were Totino's.
The frozen cream.
I always liked the fondant.
California blend.
You guys all do that. I always pick out my fruit, like on Sunday, and just eat the Jello, like Jello.
I like marshmallows. Suzanne, do you have any other memories, honey?
Like, just she gets so excited to talk about Grandpa and, you know, memories of him and showing us pictures. So, just like, you know, you could always tell what gave her joy and her kids. She's always very proud of her kids.
I think that's easy for, like, Suzanne. If you're not the first person that said it, but I guess this is to Uncle David and Uncle Roger and Mom and Aunt Sharon. Sometimes I don't think you guys realize enough how much she did care about you. Especially my mom.
Yeah, because I got
so
too.
It's good that we are here saying this because I don't think you guys heard it enough growing up because I just don't think that was Grandma.
Yeah.
I just turned to Dave and said, honey, it feels good to hear this because you never heard it from her.
My mom told me once, she said, you know, if I tell the good things about you, you'll get proud. So she just, it felt like she had to correct me to help me. Yeah. What things I did good.
So don't do that to your kids.
Tell them before.
I've got on tape telling them.
My mom has always been really good about that. It's funny how generations correct things that parents do wrong. Like, you know, and I think that's an important thing, and it's not negative at all. My mom just always made sure to tell me that I was pretty and that she loved me and hugged me, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so it changes with each generation. I think that I'm going to be good at that.
That's why you can say to you, she taught you something. Because she didn't do it, therefore you learned from it. And if it wasn't for her, you wouldn't have learned it. So instead of looking at it and saying, oh, it was terrible, you can say, wow, I learned something from her. I think that was big change in my life when I finally decided to do that. You know, when I go over there and visit her and she'd be going on, and I'd be like, so, Grandma, what do you think about this? Oh, what about that time? And she'd get all happy and start talking about it, and all of a sudden out we go, you know? And it's like,
and
yep, we're going to keep on this. And she finally started
getting it. I don't know why, but the few grandkids definitely was easier to. It was hard for me.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't turn the tables when
either.
I heard the negative.
Well,
I couldn't. I felt so close to it, and it hurt me so much that I just...
She didn't get quite as...
Put the walls up.
she didn't push as much as us either.
Right.
You know, she would, I mean, I would hear, she was almost relentless with you guys sometimes, you know, about harping on that. And, you know, I mean, it was not, she didn't just, it was easier for us to be able to change the subject because she knew that, you know what I mean? When it wasn't quite as familiar.
And I think, Emily, it took that, like, because I know one time I was there with my mom, and my mom watched me talking to Grandma and realized, like, wow, you know, it's not so much something she's feeling, you know? Like, I don't have to take it as personal anymore because it's not
personal.
And when she saw it, you know, it was just something
well,
she was,
yeah,
you know.
You kind of change the topic or you redirect the conversation.
And it was...
You learn about kindergarten kids, too, a lot, so... redirect their behavior.
You were really sweet, though. I remember her saying that to me. She said, your mom is so sweet, and she's too sensitive. And, like, but she did say you're really sweet, though, you know? And I know that, especially for both of you girls, that, like, you know, she didn't say it, but she knew.
She
like,
knew you guys.
She knew that you guys were amazing women, both of you are.
I think she got so comfortable until, like, this last year, like, with those same comments, with that criticalness, that it took her a little while to break out of it. And the more that we were able to talk to her about those other things, like, it slowly started to break out. And we got to see her. And I am so glad that I got to know my grandma for who she really was. Because I got to laugh with her. Because, you know, I have memories now. I have stories. I have things of her past, things I can take with me to my future. You know, our family in Norway. I mean, so much that I have to take forward and that I wouldn't have had. And I'm just so thankful to her for that. And I wish I could have been there to tell her that, that how much she meant to me and that I was able to spend the time that I did with her.
She knows.
She knows.
She knows.
Grandma always had so many friends, like,
she did
the
have
nine,
a
the
friend.
How many ever
the
bridge
party.
Bridge night.
Which I can share with you on that. I got a hold of Marnie on the phone. Two of the other ones, the only ones left actually were Foxy, Claire, Marnie and Giff, and Mom. So that was five out of the nine that left. Ten that were there.
Giff wasn't part of it though.
Giff actually was in Mom's class, but Giff married one of the girls that wasn't even in Mom's class. She was actually 2 years younger.
No, but I mean, the girls were only part of the
yeah.
Marty
was
spouses.
No. I know that. But
okay.
Giff felt he was a part of that because he was married to the one of the nine. And so anyway, I talked to Marty and Giff on the phone just yesterday, I think. Mm-hmm. And Marty said, she goes, we had so many good memories growing up. She goes, I'm really going to miss your mom. You know, I'll miss those times. But anyway, it's just really cool. Giff, Marnie's pretty frail, I could tell. Giff was really on the ball. He was actually the same age as Mom. Like I said, Marnie was 2 years younger. But I got the address for Foxy and Claire. They're the only ones left out of the nine.
They were circulating a letter still. They had a letter they'd circulate. She'd be mailed sometimes. Or
Mom hadn't heard from Foxy because Foxy's in a nursing home now.
That's why she didn't.
Yeah.
That letter stopped circulating.
Yeah,
she
so
they never knew why that letter would stop.
But I don't think it's going to be long, and there'll be some joining over there. There's already some joining over there now. Mom's got some of those friends right now that she's with. But it was really cool what Marty said, and I was on the phone with him probably about 10 minutes, probably. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool.
I was talking to Babe today. I talked to her, and she's excited about us coming, and she wanted us to say goodbye to Mom from her, and she wants us to come over there for a meal after the... I think my understanding is we're going straight to the funeral site, the burial site?
I think so.
Yeah. So that's what I told her, and I said if anything changes, we'll call her, but she did say that she loved Mom, and she was in tears and said that she loved her a lot, and she has something to give to a check to give to hospice. I said, you don't have to do anything, but we know that you loved her and you loved us. You know, we have a lot of memories, you know, of Madison, Indiana, our trips down there. So she she's looking forward to having us, and Eileen, I guess, isn't going to be there, but I think Tom and Janie and Peg and Tim, and I don't know about Danny. Sandy's going to be there, I guess, but I don't know about everybody else. But
no, Danny lives in Meadow City, Indiana now.
But
she insisted that they're
having food for us over at her place.
Well, we did tell them we'll be getting hotel rooms once we get there, so to spend the night, maybe whoever's going to spend the night.
Jane also wanted me to say he's going to be here. I'm sure everybody knows Kara's sick. He's been throwing up for like 2 days now. Mm-hmm. But he said that he wishes he could be here, and that he sends his regrets and his condolences to you guys.
Another woman that called was Ruth Dilworth, and Kara knows her probably better than I do. But she was one of Mom's card buddies, and she said she's really going to miss Mom, and she's sending her condolences and everything, her sympathies.
She knows the ladies that Mom played cards with. All three of them are older than Mom.
She's just saying that.
And they're all still alive. I mean, they're all in their 90s. And
well,
yeah. Something to do with math and staying alive longer.
Well, Thelma Yanger, are they related somehow, Ruth Dilworth and
no,
Thelma?
They just play cards together.
Oh, okay.
Paulette still alive?
Yeah.
And we told Paulette.
Yeah. Paulette Younger.
Paulette.
Yeah. We have stories about Paulette, but
I remember being dumb the first time I met her. You couldn't understand half of what she said because her accent was still so thick. But towards the end, she was speaking a lot better.
Better.
Yeah. Her enunciation.
She was very emphatic and expressive. That woman.
Well, I hope that, you know, she's with Grandpa now. I mean, I didn't know him. I wish I would have known him. But in my job, I work with a lot of SMPs in the community. And, you know, the Wolves. And he knew Grandpa from Hobart. And so he didn't realize, I don't know, through discussion, we figured out that, you know, the families knew each other. And he was just like, your grandfather was such a unique, special man. And he's younger than obviously Grandpa was, and just said, you know, how he looked up to him and how approachable he was, and just, you know, with his position at Hobart, and just what a great influence he was on the community and to his employees. So, you know, I just always felt that loss with Grandma, and, you know, I hope that they're together, and, you know, I think you all had really special parents. And
His wife actually stopped me on Halloween. I was out with the kids, and I don't know what his name is.
Robert.
His wife stopped me and made a point to talk to me about Grandpa and about how much they really admired him, and it was awesome to hear, you know, hear that. But
like all these years later, like he talks about him. Like,
see the one that used to go home.
They're younger. Their kids are just a little bit older than Anna and I. Right? Is Brad Jean's age?
Yeah, but they've got the older one, Bobby. He's 40.
Oh, really?
He's older.
I think
but still young. They're still younger than what Grandma
Brad is the youngest. He's dating.
Well, one other thing I wanted to say, Lillian and Eileen and Sandy, I don't know if you guys knew, they came and visited Mom not too long ago, and Mom was real appreciative of them stopping. So I'm glad that, and they're happy that they got to say, you know, see her too.
That's good timing.
Yeah. So I just wanted to say that too. I said it's good that Eileen and Babe and Sandy came and visited with Mom.
Good timing for them.
Yeah.
Good.
And Mom was still very, you know, lucid and coherent. And Mom really enjoyed that visit with them.
I'm sure that made
them. Yes. And they're very happy that they got to see Mom too.
I'm
That's all I was going to say, but some of those memories up there, I tell her how much fun I had, and she said, you know, I'm just so glad you all got to be together as a family, and so I just wanted to say how happy she would be that we're all here, just, you know, even though some people couldn't be or whatever, but that she'd be glad that we're able to spend time together right now, and I'm sure this would make her really happy.
Another thing, too, that has always impressed me is Grandma's love for Grandpa. And I know that I've heard Mom talk about, you know, that maybe there were points in their marriage that were not perfect and stuff like that, but she loved him, I mean, with all of her heart, even until the end. And I think that is, I just think that, I don't know, that's always been something to me that has always been a testimony, is that it's not always perfect, but, you know, if you can love each other and hold on, that, you know, hopefully it can last through time, and hopefully they're together now and happy again or whatever, I don't know.
Dave, do you want to say something then? Anything? Do you have any final words?
I don't think I have any final
Anybody
words.
Anybody have any final words?
I just want to say I love all of you guys. And I'm really glad I got to meet you and all of you. And I hope I get to see you all again sometime soon. So I hope it's not
for We're all going to be together tomorrow, are we?
Yeah,
not everybody.
I would love to
get
in a 3-hour car ride, but I just
think
that I'm going to be.
Those twins are saying, "Nope, Mom, not
feeling good." Half an hour car ride.
I'm not really ready to deliver any babies.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
We don't want to do it in the car. Yeah.